Blog Talk Radio.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list, okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this, and we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it. So I just want to thank you.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Thursday, November 5th, 2020. 2 days ago, like me, we were all looking forward to what all of us believed would be a very significant victory over Vice President Joe Biden. All of us were preparing for the celebration because all of us had witnessed the immense rallies these past weeks. Every time that Trump would show up in a city, there were thousands of supporters pouring out and supporting him. And every time we looked at a Joe Biden rally, it was like a living room gathering. And there you have it. The President of the United States, on what should have been a victory speech, had to sadly say that we need to pursue this election result with legal means because, according to President Trump and thousands of others, there has been mail-in fraud going on in significant battleground states where President Trump was leading, and suddenly, early in the wee hours of the morning, the vote changed. Not because it was being counted, but because, as all of us believe, it was being manipulated. Now, it was just this past summer that White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany answered a question about why President Trump was fearful of the mail-in ballot. Let's listen.
Which particular ballot is he talking about wanting to get rid of, and why does he think that would help him get elected?
The president wants to get rid of mass mail-out voting, and that's not because he said clearly that that could go either way. It could damage either candidate's chances because it's a system that's subject to fraud. In fact, in the last 24 hours, police in Greenville, Wisconsin, found mail in a ditch, and it included absentee ballots. And also, I can confirm for you that Trump ballots ballots for the president were found in Pennsylvania, and I believe you should be getting more information on that shortly. Here in the last 24 hours, they were found cast aside.
So why in the past hour did the president tweet out, vote by mail ballots in my home state of Florida, begin going out today, make sure to request yours, fill it out, and send it in?
The president has always made the distinction that absentee ballots, where you go through a process where you request a ballot and you mail that in, that is a system that works. But a system where you mass mail out to voter rolls, which are not kept and maintained, where in Los Angeles County, for instance, you have 120% of the county enrolled, that system is untenable. It doesn't work. It leads to what we saw in Nevada, where there were ballots languishing in trash cans and pinned to apartment boards.
This is very significant. That was Kaylee McEnany from this past summer answering a question about this system. Nothing in the history of elections I can think of happened like this, except I believe in 1864 when there was mail-in votes and fraud attempted in the election of President Abraham Lincoln. This is unprecedented in many ways. The changes to the leads for Trump in places like Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, everyone, in fact, including me, that were watching the proceedings were in shock. And there has been ballots that have been found in plastic bags. And there are people on site working in Michigan that saw a red wagon at 4 o'clock in the morning suspiciously being hauled in to the voting procedures. There is something seriously going on, and President Trump was right to challenge this. This has nothing to do about us whiny Republicans not accepting the results of this election. It has everything to do with challenging what is perceived to be attempted fraud, which is nothing new with liberals, but attempted fraud in overturning a legitimate presidential election. And in every case where President Trump was in the lead, suddenly – that transpired very quickly. And I'm just saying I support the president and what he's doing. It is the right thing to do. And what we have to do is simply be patient during this process. And yet, as important as it is to remain patient, I think we have a duty, a responsibility to go out into the streets. Let's do what the liberals do in the right way, peacefully, of course, and let's make known to the public and the media that this election has some serious fraud and consequences that need to be investigated. This is very, very important that we do this, because I've never seen anything like this in my life. I want to take you just through a possible scenario. We all woke up at the beginning of this year to a pandemic from China that, after all was said and done, had destroyed our economy, had put us into lockdown, had compromised our freedoms in many ways. People couldn't even go to church. Suddenly, our economic atmosphere had changed radically. What President Trump had accomplished through hard and diligent work was suddenly compromised and corrupted by a virus. And then, as a result of this virus, many on the left began to talk about mail-in balloting, and suddenly the process of legitimate election was being undermined by those that should be able to go vote in person, but suddenly mail-in ballots were now being used, and I feel as though there has been a pattern here, a virus that undermined an economy, that undermined the competency of our president, and now a mail-in system as a result of the virus that compromised this election. I really do see a real plan going on here. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that there is a true answer to all of this, but there are so many smart legal minds that are challenging and attacking this whole process with the mail-in balloting, the mass mail-in balloting. But aside from that, a couple of observations. My question to you, how could so many Americans vote for Joe Biden? How? What has happened to the people of our nation? Where are their values coming from? This man has a socialist agenda. He is a puppet, I believe, of the Democratic Radical Party. But nonetheless, he has a radical agenda. Almost everything this man, Joe Biden, believes in is contrary to everything that President Trump has accomplished for our country with his vision, with his values. You can't be – you have to be blind in the last 3 years to see how economically, spiritually, and physically our nation has groveled out of the corruption and decay of the previous administration. Financial freedom, economic freedom, energy sufficiency. I could name so many things, but I don't have to go down the list. You understand them all. And when you see the so-called results of this election, if they're accurate, if there's no fraud involved, you ask the question, how could so many Americans vote for this kind of agenda that undermines the values, the success, the prosperity of our country? This is a very, very serious thing to me, that our young generation believes that socialism is acceptable, that it's some kind of alternative political theory that will work for us. Does the elected, does the populace that voted for Joe Biden understand that just a couple of months ago, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi talked about the 25th Amendment, and this didn't have anything to do with President Trump. I believe she was preparing for the possibility of a Biden presidency, knowing full well he is mentally incapable of handling it, and she wanted to get out this idea about the 25th Amendment that would have someone replace the president if he's unable to serve competently. Who was she thinking about? Well, obviously, Kamala Harris. Another question. Can you imagine if that happened and Kamala Harris became the president of the United States? I have nothing against a woman president whatsoever, but her values and her agenda is tied to Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, and many, many others. And I'm wondering, and I ask the question again, when you looked at the rallies in the last several weeks compared to Joe Biden, none of us can believe that many people voted for Biden out of contempt for Trump. What is going on in our nation? And I was thinking about the question I just asked you. And I was also realizing that the Bible does have something to say about when God is judging a nation, that there are times in biblical history that he has set up wicked rulers to be our leaders. It's frightening. It's like God is giving the majority of the people here in the United States what they want. Since you have rejected me, then here is the alternative. Since you won't trust and follow me, then here is the alternative. I'm giving you what you want. Now, for us as Christians who follow and support Trump in all of his flaws, in all of his sins, just like we have, we want righteousness in this nation to prevail. We want prosperity in this nation to prevail. We want to be a great America again. And God, I believe, gave us a leader in a crucial time. And now, unless Trump can secure a path to victory, it almost seems like that God is removing him and replacing him with someone that is extremely contrary to our biblical values and the ways of our nation. It is frightening to me. And I sit here today, Thursday, November 5th, which I was looking forward to this radio program to talk about 4 more years of Donald Trump, 4 more years of our nation to thrive and to prosper. for the pro-life message to strengthen, for conservative values to reign, for much more liberty and freedom and values that we all ascribe to. And instead of talking about that, I am forced to talk about this. On my last program, right before the election, I talked about Joe Biden being endorsed by NIAC, the Iranian lobbyists here that really work for the Iranian government. They're stationed in Washington, D.C. I talked about Joe Biden making it very public that he thought that Islam should be taught more in schools. And I explained how very serious this was to the soul of our nation. You know, his campaign slogan was battle for the soul of this nation. Really? The soul of this nation with the values of Joe Biden are frightening to me. I don't have anything personally against him. I pray for him. I know that you do too. But we have to stand up against which is an assault on the political values, the moral values of our nation. And again, it's frightening. It's frightening that God would do this in his sovereignty. That's what I want to talk to you about today on the cross in the desert. With the chaos and the corruption of this election, which has taken many of us by surprise, I think some of us realized that something like this could happen, but not on this scale. As we weather through the storm of this chaos, I think about the often quoted phrase that God is in control, and that is true, that God is sovereign, and that is absolutely true. But now wait a minute. There is a tension between the sovereignty of God, the divine, and our human responsibility. What do I mean? While we acknowledge and trust that God is in control, we also acknowledge that God expects us as a people to challenge corruption if we see it, to challenge deceit if we suspect it. And so while God certainly is in control and we acknowledge that, we do have a human moral responsibility. We are responsible to speak out against what we believe is corruption. So therefore, the challenge to this election is absolutely appropriate. It is not a matter that we as conservatives can't accept the decision of the people that has nothing to do with it. We're not going to react like they did 4 years ago when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton. We're not going to do that. But I do believe in a peaceful demonstration all across the cities of America to say that there is something wrong with this system. We have a good system for elections every 2 to 4 years, but there has been a compromise and what I believe an attempted stealing of a legitimate election. And all of this will be challenged in the courts, and many of us feel that in the end it probably will not solve the problem, but we can't stand by idly. We cannot just stand by and watch what we believe taking place. And again, yes, God is in control. And many of us need some kind of anchor, some kind of foundation for what is going on. And so what I wanted to do this morning on the cross in the desert is take us through what the Bible teaches about the sovereignty of God, so that we can find a measure of comfort and strength in what is happening. What is the sovereignty of God? Well, the sovereignty of God means that he has total control of all things past, present, and future. Nothing happens that is out of his knowledge and control. All things are either caused by him, are allowed by him for his own glory and purposes and through his perfect will and timing. He is the only absolute and omnipotent ruler of the universe and is sovereign in creation, providence, and redemption. Well, what do we mean, though? Flesh that out for us, Randy. We mean the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the godhood of God, is to say that God is sovereign to declare that he is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare he is the Most High. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, so that no one can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? And that's a quote from Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth, so that no one or none can defeat his counsels, thwart his purpose, or resist his will. You'll find that in Psalm chapter 115, verse 3. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the governor among the nations. He sets up kingdoms, he overthrows empires, and he determines the course of dynasties in the way that pleases him. And R.C. Sproul, before he died, had a great quote. He said, if there is any element of the universe that is outside of his authority, then he no longer is God over all. In other words, sovereignty belongs to his deity. Sovereignty is a natural attribute of the Creator. God owns what he makes, and he rules what he owns. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean somehow that you and I are reduced to observers, robots? We have nothing to say. And of course, no, that does not mean that. We have the freedom to choose. God created us in his image with the ability to make choices. Now, we're not autonomous in the sense that we can do just anything we imagine. If you think that that's not true, look at Genesis 11. When they tried to build this tower towards God, the Tower of Babel, and God struck down that tower plan with judgment. But yet we do have freedom to choose. That's what makes it a love relationship. And again, this goes back to what I just said to you. When we see corruption and deceit, we don't just say, well, God is in control, it'll all work out. No, we agree that's true, but we act with responsible reaction to deceit and fraud. We take up the cause of the injustices, and we speak out against them. We try to fix that, all within the sovereign purpose and plan of God. So again, we have a responsibility in this chaotic time in our history right now. Yes, we trust God that he's in control, but we also act in a responsible way. Act in a responsible way is to honor and glorify him. If there is something that is really wrong, we need to challenge it. We are responsible human beings. So what does the Bible say about the sovereignty of God in specific? These are scriptures, I think, that will give us comfort and help us during this chaotic and corrupt time. Psalm chapter 115, verse 3 in the English Standard Version. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. That's very clear that this earth, this existence is not just by chance and luck and things that happen, good or evil, are somehow just, you know, part of a system that has no guidance to it or accountability to it. No, God is in the heavens. He is sovereign. He does as he pleases. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. So God speaks the future. He knows the future. He plans the future. He declares the future. What he intends to accomplish will be accomplished. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. So in other words, this gives me great comfort that fallen human beings cannot just do anything they please and that God somehow has to let that happen. No, God is sovereign. Give me an example. Jonah was told to go preach to the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want to do it. He tried to thwart God's plan and purpose for his life. And the boat he was riding on encountered a violent storm, and the sailors threw him overboard. They were afraid of what was happening, and Jonah was swallowed by a whale, spit upon the shore, and made to go preach to Nineveh. Now, wait a minute, Randy. Jonah had a free will. Yes, he did. But again, this is a great balance in this teaching that says that you have freedom, but God has the final word about what you do. Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So there might be intentional fraud and deceit going on. Those may be the plans of fallen man in their heart, but God says that will not stand. My purpose is the only thing. Psalm chapter 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. He is a compassionate, just, and righteous king. He has not left this universe to chance and luck. I hear this all the time, and I know that some of us really don't mean it. Sometimes Christians say, good luck, but the pagan concept of luck does not square with what the scriptures say. God is in control. 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. That's very clear, that God created us for a purpose, and he's in control of our destiny. He is the great potent king ruling over all. This is an interesting verse given our present situation, Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. At the end of his suffering, Job looked up into heaven. In Job chapter 42, verse 2, he says, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Very clear of the purposes of God that cannot be thwarted. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, speaks volumes of what our current situation is. God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So it's very clear that God allows, but then it says it also, he sets up kings. He puts into power whom he chooses. Well, wait a minute. This is an election. We voted. That's true. This is the great mystery of divine providence and human responsibility. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Very clear to me, the sovereignty of God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, God asks the rhetorical question, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And of course, the answer is no. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37. Who has spoken, and it came to pass, unless the Lord commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Wow. Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verse 14. I perceived that whatever God does, endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that the people fear before him. Very, very clear. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentile and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Wow. We are amazed at the sovereignty of God. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. It's very clear, the purposes of God, and he is sovereign. We can take comfort and rest and have peace in the midst of the chaos and the corruption that is happening all around us. I want to take a short break right now. I want you to hear this very important worship song. As you have listened to the things I've shared this morning, to the verses I've quoted, think about that as you listen to this song by Chris Tomlin called Sovereign on the Cross in the Desert.
Sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the
the powerful, beautiful worship music, Chris Tomlin, Sovereign, just summing up everything I've been sharing with you this morning. It's a song that is near and dear to my heart. It brings great comfort in what is happening. I've had many of my Iranian friends message me in a frantic tone of voice. What is going on? What is happening to the election? Is this true that these ballots were fraudulent? And they ask questions because they're in panic. They know that if Joe Biden becomes president, they know that because of the Obama administration policies during the nuclear deal, they know what's going to happen, that Joe Biden will do nothing like Trump did in being their voice, but instead will do everything to appease Muslims and the mullahs in Iran. And so, again, it's contrary that everything President Trump has done to be a voice for the Iranian people, Joe Biden will do nothing more than his predecessor, Barack Obama. He will be an appeaser to the Iranian regime. And it just empowers them, and probably financially, many of these sanctions may be removed. And what do the Iranian governments do with this? They use it for terrorism. So my Iranian friends are very interested. They're panicking over this election. Many of them love President Trump, and they tell me we are praying for him. I put a video up on my Facebook page a few days ago. If you scroll down far enough, you'll see it. It's an Iranian woman in Tehran standing near the traffic in a street, a major street, and she's saying to the person filming her, she's praying for President Trump. I mean, these Iranian people love him. And I have had an opportunity since Trump has been president to write in my books how he cares about the Iranian people, how he is a voice for them. And yet all of that right now is on the line. But here's what you and I can take away from all of this. We have a responsibility to speak out of what we perceive to be chaos and corruption and fraud. And yet we take absolute comfort in God being in control of everything. 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul is talking here in context of not judging another believer too harshly, and especially his motives. But I think the principle of this verse is very important for us in the time we're going through. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. In the English Standard Version, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the now things hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Now, there's a principle from this verse that does pertain to what we're going through. Nothing can escape the gaze of God. He understands the hidden secrets and the motives of our heart. And if there is real fraud and deceit that has tried to be taken advantage of in this election, God will expose it. They cannot escape his judgment or his gaze. Well, this morning, we have gone through some very serious, heavy issues. As I speak to you, we are in the middle of a recount of an election that will not just be like last time where we were all celebrating the victory of President Trump, but this time we are fighting along with him for his survival, to somehow find a path in this chaos to victory. And if it is God's will that there has been legitimate deceit and fraud, I believe in God's sovereignty that he will correct it, and Donald Trump will be president again for 4 more years. But There's also the principle that if this nation, my country, if the people in this country, the divided people in this country, are crying out for a leader that has contrary principles and values unto the Bible and to truth, God sometimes gives them what they want. Sometimes God brings ungodly rulers to rule when he is bringing judgment. And I hope that's not the case here. I hope not. So I hope that this morning you have taken some comfort as a Christian in what the Bible is saying to all of us that name the name of Christ, that we can rest, that God is truly in control, that no plan or purpose of his can be thwarted, that he is working together for our good, and that he is working out this situation for his glory and his purposes. And I just say this to you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, I really persuade you, in the midst of the chaos and the confusion, to know there is a God that loves you with an everlasting love. And he sent Christ to bear all of our sin and judgment more than 2,000 years ago on a cross. His plan and purpose was to bring salvation to his people that have sinned, to bring forgiveness and reconciliation. And I just cry out to you and persuade you, if you are feeling hopeless and despaired, don't look to man, don't look to government, look to God, look to Christ. He is the one that can bring you hope and forgiveness, peace, and reconciliation. I thank you so much this morning for listening to the broadcast. I will continue to monitor what's happening, and hopefully on Monday we will have more answers as we will visit this subject once again. God bless everyone. Have a safe and happy weekend. See you Monday again on the Cross in the Desert.